We're dinking around with Eddie and Webby. Dinking around with Eddie and Webby tonight.
Oh, yeah. Pickleball sucks. It's not even a real sport.
Get out of here, you troll. Oh, hey, how's it going? This is Webby, not Eddie.
And I'm Eddie, and this is our 65th Dinking Around.
Aw, yeah, episode number 65.
Yes, we have a very exciting one for you tonight. I'm super excited to be able to bring it to you, and none of this would be possible without our friends over at Valair Pickleball. Guys, if you want to get your hands on some of the best paddles, some of the best pickleball gear in the game, go to Valair.com and use coupon code PBforLife to be able to get what, Webby?
You're going to get yourself 10% off your order, and you're going to help support us as well.
That's right. Good gear. Support the best pickleball podcast out there. We appreciate you guys. We also appreciate Valair. Webby, I'm excited for tonight, man. We have so many great things to be able to talk about.
That's right. And I have a question for you, actually.
What in the world is in that drink? What you got in that drink?
That's right. What in the world is in that drink? Eddie, what are you drinking today?
Well, guys, I have been on a hard seltzer kick for a long time, and you're not going to be surprised. I have another one from Fort Myers Brewing Company. It's the orange flavor. It's a good one. I know I've had this recently on the show, but I just really enjoy them. Zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, full flavor. I absolutely love them. Webby, while I'm sipping on this, please tell the world what's in your drink.
Well, my drink is actually kind of inspired by what you've been doing. You've been doing these series of seltzers from Fort Myers Brewing. I figured I would continue drinking the series from Bell's that I've been drinking. I got a variety pack, and this week I am drinking Hazy Hearted IPA. And I have had this one before. This one is very delicious. I'm a big fan. I love hazy IPAs. Cheers, everybody. Cheers, Eddie.
Cheers, my friend. I'd love to hear what you think about that, because I have not had that before, and we all know how great you are at describing beers.
I am. I'm one of the best, but it is very tasty. Just think of Bell's Two-Hearted Ale with some haziness added to it, and you got this beer.
I like it. I'm definitely going to try it next time I see that. Maybe when I'm up in Michigan this summer for Beer City Open, we can grab some.
Yes, sir.
Well, Webby, I want to know, what time is it?
Now it's time for Memes of the Week. Yeah.
That's right. It's everybody's favorite segment in pickleball, Memes of the Week. And Webby, I got some bangers for you this week. Are you ready for them?
Oh, nice. I love this segment. I'm excited to see what you got.
Well, the first one actually isn't pickleball related, but it's a sport that's similar to pickleball, and you'll see why I played this one first, because I'm going to be following this up with some really good pickleball memes. And the first one is actually tennis related, and it says headshot, and when I click play, what's it going to do? Guy goes for a serve. Wham! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That looked like it hurt so freaking bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So right in the head.
I remember back in my racquetball days getting hit with a racquetball when somebody was serving it from behind. You know, you're pretty close to them. You could really whip that ball around and get hit. But I guarantee you, none of them hurt as bad as getting hit in the head with a strong overhead serve from a tennis ball. That looks like it freaking kills.
Oh, that would be so horrible. Oh, it's such a direct hit. Like, I'm sure he was not expecting that whatsoever either, so that makes it even worse.
Oh, God. How pissed at your partner would you be if that happened?
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be giving him a nut shot when he comes over to check on me.
Oh, it's bad. That's bad. If you're a tennis player out there and you've played doubles tennis and this has happened to you, please let us know. How accurate are we with the fact that this would absolutely kill if it happened? So you'll see why I picked this one when I go into the next meme. And this is from our friend Odoff at Koopy Nation. And basically, it's a who did it better compilation of similar shots. First one here, it's from APP Houston Open. Let's take a look at this replay. And bam, right in the butt cheek. Right in the butt. It happens, right? Let's go to the next one here. Oh, Lee Waters hitting Tyson McGuffin in the head or in the shoulder. That one wasn't that hard, though. That one didn't look like it hurt, did it?
Yeah, it didn't seem too bad.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Oh, it looks like Simone just kind of got that paddle a little on it, maybe took a weird bounce and went right into Paris Todd. And let's go to the next one here. And Tyra Black right into Anna Bright. Looks like it got her kind of close to her eye a little bit there. I mean, it's hard to tell from this angle, but that's scary. It happens though, right? Partners hitting partners.
Yeah.
Let's go to the last one here. Oh, this is my favorite. Yeah. So you got Pat Smith, Jay DeVilliers, and the best part is that Jay was clenching really hard right before that one happened here. If you see, I don't know if it was an anticipation of it, and I don't know if that actually is going to make it feel worse or better, but my God, I love it.
Oh, it's, man.
So classic, especially with Pat and Jay being such good friends and being able to do that to each other.
Yeah, and I love how Pat gave a little fist bump afterwards. So good.
I wonder, is he up on his toes right now? Like because he was anticipating it? Like, I have so many questions here, Jay. Can you let us know? Did you anticipate that? Is that why you clenched? Because I don't know why else you did, buddy.
It might have been. Like, I wonder if they have such good chemistry that he just sensed that it was coming.
He just knew telepathically, like, Pat's about to hit me right in the butt with this one.
Oh, man, that was good. That was good stuff.
Great job, Koopy Nation. Thanks for all the great content, Odoth. We appreciate it. Those are my memes. Webby, you got something good for us this week?
I do. This is pretty hilarious. This is from an account that I just recently learned about on Instagram. It's called Dink Different Pickleball. They have a lot of hilarious videos. And this one is titled How Men Talk to Women in Pickleball.
Should we do boys against girls? Just kidding. At a girl? You gotta quit hitting to their backhand. You can't hit to their forehand. You gotta quit popping it up. Should we stack? Yeah, we should stack. Wow, great shot. Ladies first. Serve it, girl. I'll take the hard drives. Okay, no cross-court speed-ups. They're targeting you. Are you open to feedback? You're actually good. Someone means business. You're getting better. Think different.
Her face at the end was absolutely classic. I love that.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I don't know how I found that account. I don't know if it was a suggested thing or if somebody was tagged in it or what, but I came across it a couple weeks ago and I watched a bunch of their content. It was so funny. So I had to choose one of their videos as one of my memes of the week, and I'm very glad that I did.
Those are great. I love to see how much content is coming into the pickleball space. So creative, so clever, so funny, but also so real for any of us that play pickleball on a pretty regular basis, especially going to open play.
Yeah, I absolutely love memes of the week. One of my favorite things we do each week. But, Eddie, I think it's time.
Now it's time for Topics of the Week.
That's right, Topics of the Week. This is where Eddie and I each bring a topic to discuss. And, Eddie, I would love to know what your topic of the week is.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's actually very fitting that we showed that last meme because, Webby, as you and I have talked about, I've been going to open play up at East Naples more frequently lately, and I'm really making the best out of it. But there was a situation this past week that happened that I want your opinion on and all of you listening out there. Should I have addressed something? Should I not have? What should I have done in the situation? Or just accept that this is basically what happens at open play? To set the stage for you, I'm playing at the 3-5 courts. I can't play at the 4-0 courts. There's a long story. I don't want to get into that. But playing at the 3-5 courts, which is great. And there was a woman that I played with who 90% of her was like a high 2-5, low 3-0. But she was able to get away with playing on the 3-5 courts because she had a really deceptive table tennis style drive. Okay. So that's why she was playing there. She gets away with it. And she's super nice. We had a good time. The problem is that she gets away with that shot. So that's all she does. And on top of that, I don't think that the people that she plays with play up at the line like I've been taught to, like you've been taught to, like a lot of higher level players do. And so a lot of her shots that she usually gets away with, she was hitting cross court hard to the person in front of me directly to their forehand multiple times. And as you know, I think it's probably from my training with Simone that I just know that that's not what you do. Protecting your partner is the number one thing you can do out on the court. So it is a little bit of a pet peeve for me and it gets under my skin, but I wrote it off because I'm really trying to embrace open play. But it happened a lot. On top of that, Webby, not only did she do that shot, when our opponent would rip the ball back at me and I wasn't able to either get to it or it hit me, it was a lot of eye rolling. It was a lot of seriously, a lot of that. And so I want to know, there's a lot to unpack with that, but I want to know from your perspective and out there, if you're listening, if you have an opinion as we're talking through this, please throw it down in the comments below. Because again, I chose not to say anything and just go with it. But man, did I want to. What do you think is the best thing to do in that situation?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. That is a tricky one, especially with open play. I have experienced that before too. And I feel like my first instinct would be to not say anything and just let it slide. But if they're doing the eye rolling thing, like you said, that she did, like that's the kind of thing that would make me want to say something. Like eventually I feel like I would get frustrated enough at their reaction to me getting blasted with the ball because of what they did, to where I would be like, you know, if you wouldn't hit it like hard cross court to their forehand, they wouldn't be hitting it so hard at me to where it's hard for me to even do anything with it. So when people are jerks, that's when I kind of am not as quiet about things. Like I can't stand people that are not nice people when it comes to open play, when it comes to pickleball. And I even had something to happen at a recent tournament that I did. I think I'll save that for another episode, another topic. But yeah, if you do something that pisses me off during pickleball, because like you just demonstrate that you're not a great person, that's when I become vocal. Otherwise, I pretty much keep to myself. but it is tough because some people do want to learn and get better, and some people are open to that. So you just, I don't know, you almost got to feel it out and see, like, do they seem like the type of person that want to get better and would be open to constructive criticism, or are they just there to play and they have no desire to get better? Just they just want to have fun, even though what they're doing is causing you to get smashed.
Yeah, and that's the other part too, is it's almost like she wasn't having fun. And again, I think it's because she probably plays in groups where she can get away with that shot over and over and over again. And anytime there's a higher level opponent or a partner who's trying to play, quote unquote, the right way, or the way that's going to set you up for success, she doesn't do well in that situation. So it was tough. You brought up a great point though. Are they receptive to constructive criticism or feedback, as I like to put it? I don't think so. Again, 90% of who she plays with, she's probably the best one on the court.
Yeah.
In this situation though, it doesn't work for that 3-5 and above level play. So I chose not to do it. Sounds like perhaps, unless it really pissed you off, you probably would have held your tongue too. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not one to really give much coaching to other people, mainly because I feel like I'm not good enough to really coach other people. And I actually, when you started talking about what she was doing, it made me think of myself. I'm sure I've done that to you many times when we've played together too.
a few times it's happened.
I'm getting better at not doing that. But yeah, when I watch videos of us playing together, I do recognize that I have done that numerous times to my partners, and I'm sorry to all my partners out there. I know I've unintentionally caused you to get smashed because I hit the ball cross court to the opponent's forehand. I'm getting better though. I am getting better at that.
Well, but here's the other thing, Webby, too, is that if she would recognize how bad of a shot that is, then it would have been a different story. Cause I would have been like, no problem. Like I get it. If she'd been like, oh, my fault, I shouldn't have gone there. No problem. And honestly, Webby, I would say that the last year and a half I've played with you, I feel like you've done that a lot. You're like, yeah, that probably wasn't the best shot. Definitely do it. I'm still guilty of sometimes putting my partner in a bad spot. I don't intend to, it just kind of happens. So I think if there's a thought, or, hey, I'm trying to not do that shot, or I had a moment of bad decision making, that's a different story. This one was, no, this is how I play. You're a bad player because you're getting hit with these forehand drives being ripped right at you. You need to play back with me so that way it doesn't happen all that much. And it's like, I don't like that's not something that I can do in open play. Cause it's just, it's not, it's been beat into me to not do that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm very curious to know what you all think. What would you have done in that situation? Would you have said something to them? Would you have just bit your tongue? It's a great question. I'd love to know.
And there's just one more thing I want to point out. It's ironic because it was a woman, and the last 2 weeks we've talked about how men can sometimes overcoach women. Yeah. And that was also weighing on my mind too, where I don't know if it was a man, would I have treated it differently? I don't know. I've never been put in that situation, so I don't really know. But I will tell you that these memes are weighing on my head when I'm playing with women, because I don't want to be that guy who's overcoaching them specifically because I'm a man and they're a woman. I don't think I would do that, but it's always good to be aware.
Yeah, and I kind of experienced that. I've been playing with my daughter again a lot more recently because she's got some more free time, so she's able to play pickleball again. So she and I try to play competitively together from time to time. And it's probably because I'm her dad. That probably doesn't help much, but she constantly just thinks that I'm ragging on her the whole time and like just trying to be mean and stuff. I'm like, no, I just want to point out, just so like you don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. But like, it's tough because like, I'm sure she doesn't want to hear that, but she needs to hear it if she wants to get better. So yeah, that's a whole nother thing too. It's tough. It's really
tough. Shut up, dad. God, I'm just here to play pickleball and have fun. Like,
right.
Shut up. Ugh.
Yeah, I do feel like if anybody else would say the same stuff, she would be like very receptive and be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I should work on that. But whenever I say it, it's like, God, leave me alone. Stop being mean to me.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, guys, again, we want to know what you think. Go ahead and let us know in the comments down below. But Webby, I want to know, what is your topic for the week?
So my topic for the week has to do with tournaments. As you know, I do a lot of tournaments every year, and I'm really developing a love-hate relationship with tournaments. And I'm getting to the point where I'm almost not having fun playing tournaments anymore. There's many times lately where I've done a tournament and I'll just think to myself, you know what? I am not having fun with tournaments anymore. And I think this is it. I think I'm done with tournaments. But then a week or two goes by, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pull up pickleball brackets just to see, like, are there any tournaments going on in the next few weeks or any local tournaments? And then I'll look, and then I see one, and I'll be like, oh, man, I need to sign up for that. I need to sign up for this one. I need to sign up for that one. And it's just a weird thing. Like, I'm curious if anybody out there, or if even you, Eddie, has this kind of same kind of feeling where, like, when you do a tournament, especially if you have a bad result, you really kind of hate tournaments because they're not that fun sometimes. They're not nearly as fun as open play or rec play or getting a private group together. They're a lot more stressful. Sometimes they're long days where you don't play as much. I still love doing tournaments because like you can't recreate that competitive atmosphere that you get when you do a tournament. And if you do end up on the medal stand, it is a pretty great feeling to know that you were able to like implement all the things you've learned and show that you are very skilled and that you're good at the sport. But man, there's just so many times lately where I feel like it was like a day of just anxiety and stress and not that much fun. Like, have you experienced that much at tournaments where like you feel like this, it's not even worth doing?
Yeah, that's kind of why I stopped doing tournaments. Not only was the tournament not fun for me, the weeks leading up to it wasn't as much fun for me. It's been a challenge down here for me to find people who want to drill and go into tournament mode. And anytime I would go somewhere to get reps in, people would be wanting to have fun, which they should. It's pickleball. It's supposed to be fun. And I found myself wanting to really, drill, get some competitive play in, get into tournament prep mode. And honestly, I didn't have fun. And I bet you most people I played with probably had less fun when I'm in that mode. So for me, outside of Beer City Open and maybe like one other small one here and there throughout the year, that's it. I really don't have much of a desire to play tournaments like that. And it doesn't have to do with lack of results. I've definitely done well at tournaments that I've played in. I just don't, it's not as fun for me as it used to be. And on top of that, I will say that recently I have kind of fell in love with pickleball again, just for the sake of going out and having fun. And I want to be able to keep that. And honestly, Webby, I'm a little bit concerned that the weeks leading up to the Beer City Open, my wife and I, we're going to be on an RV trip. We're going to be taking our time getting up to Grand Rapids. So I'm going to have to find pickleball courts here and there to be able to try and play with people. And I'm already worried that the play that I'm going to have at these different parks or whatnot is going to be less fun, because I'm going to be in tournament prep mode versus just go out there and have fun. And on top of that, I also find, Webby, that when I'm not preparing for a tournament, I don't really care about my duper score or what my scores are. I really didn't care even before that anyway. They didn't really mean much to me, but I also found that it means less to me. And I think that also leads to me becoming a better pickleball player. So that's a lot I threw back at you. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah. And I definitely agree with what you said. What I have learned is the bigger the tournament, the less fun I have, especially if it's a double elimination tournament. That means if you do a tournament and you lose twice, you're out of the tournament. So if you lose the first game, you then go to the loser's bracket. And then as soon as you lose again, you're out. So you might hear the term 0-2 and out. So if you lose your first game and then you lose the first game of the loser's bracket, you're out of the tournament. So you might only play in a tournament two games or two matches and you're done. So to me, like I can't stand doing tournaments that are double elimination format anymore, and I typically will try to avoid it outside of the Beer City Open. The Beer City Open, I love that tournament. Even if I go 0-2 out, I still have a great time. So that's one of the rare big tournaments that is super fun regardless of the outcome, regardless of how I play. I know if I get eliminated there, I can just head over to the beer tent and then watch my friends play or watch pro players play. I mean, you can't go wrong at the Beer City Open, but a lot of other big tournaments are not like that. And you go 0-2 out, especially if you travel, you might not even know any of the people playing, to where it's not even as fun to just sit around and watch the people play. So I have learned that what I really enjoy when it comes to tournaments is round robin tournaments, because let's say there's 8 people in your division, you play against every team. So you play 7 matches guaranteed. And then it's just whoever has the most wins gets the medal. It's kind of anticlimactic because there's usually not like an actual gold medal match or bronze medal match and stuff like that. It's just whoever has the best results. Here you go. Here's your gold medal. But it's the best bang for your buck. You get a lot of good, high quality, intense competitive play, which I really like getting. And like I said before, like you can't really recreate a tournament vibe as far as the intensity of it. That I really like. If I know a tournament is going to be a round robin tournament, I'm all for it. And it makes it a much better experience for me. But if it's going to be an 0-2 out tournament, I typically will not sign up for it unless it's like a Beer City Open where I know I'm going to have fun regardless. And I've also realized that smaller local tournaments typically are the round robin style. And it's usually against people that you know and are friends with and stuff. So those are a lot of fun. And I have grown to really, really like smaller local tournaments as opposed to the much larger scale tournaments out there.
Yeah. Do you also change how you're playing pickleball leading up to a tournament, like a couple weeks before, 3 weeks before, or is it pretty much just same, you know, whether you're playing a tournament or not?
No, I do change it up, and I totally agree with what you said before. Like it makes it to where it's almost not as fun, because I'm more focused on, okay, for these next couple weeks, I need to play with high level players. I got to get good practice in. And yeah, it's not as fun. I take it a lot more seriously. It's harder sometimes to find those higher level groups to play with. So then if I can't find those higher level groups to play with, then I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then if I do play with like the lower skilled level people, I'm like, man, I feel like this is hurting me, because
it's hurting you.
Yeah. So like where I would typically have fun playing with anybody, no matter what their skill level is, it makes it to where I almost resent these lower level players. And I'm like, man, like this sucks. Like I'm not getting any value out of this whatsoever. And I hate feeling like that, because there are times where I'll play after work in Detroit with a bunch of people that are like brand new to the sport. And normally I absolutely love that. I love getting people introduced to pickleball. I love when I can try to like guide them and give them some tips and give them some coaching. And then when you see it click for people, like different strategies or the ways to do things like that, to me, that's one of the most fun things about pickleball is teaching somebody how to play and then seeing them like get it and like mm-hmm. grasp how to play properly and start playing well, but still like having fun. Like that's one of the reasons why like tournaments are like, to me, like they're just not as fun. And I'm going to be a lot more selective with the tournaments that I do moving forward.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good idea. I have found a lot of value in it personally. When I go to play, it's just for the love of playing. Yes, I do want to get better, but my goal for getting better is more just because the better I get, the more fun it is, the more groups I can get in with, the more I'm on my personal journey, where when it's tournament prep, it's all results of that tournament, which at the end of the day really doesn't matter. But as to your point of if you're in a double elimination tournament, if you don't do well, you don't get to play. So my motivation is I want to be able to keep playing. In order to do that, I have to do well. And in order to do well, I have to be able to drill and I have to be prepared. And in order to do that, I need to get higher level people. And it just snowballs. So
yep.
I'm right there with you. Webby, I think you should just stop doing tournaments. Maybe one or two a year. I think you're going to be much happier.
I probably will be much happier, but I don't know. I feel like I like torturing myself for some reason. I can't help it. Like after this podcast, I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm going to stand firm. I am not going to do any more tournaments. I'm going to be very selective, but I guarantee you a week or two from now, I'm going to pull up pickleball brackets just out of curiosity and be like, oh, I got to do this tournament. I got to do this one.
All right. So now we have established you are a pickleball junkie. You have an addiction to tournaments. So yeah. I will be your sponsor. And anytime you're starting to, what's that term? You're starting to chip. You're fall off the wagon, whatever. Reach out to me. I'll talk a little sense into you. I'll talk you down. We'll look and see if it really is a tournament that you should be in or not. And then I can be there for you.
Yeah. Now, one thing I do want to kind of stand firm with is when I do a tournament, I want it to be with somebody that I can at least practice with beforehand. Because for years, I have done tournaments like with blind date partners or people that I haven't played with in months leading up to the tournament and stuff like that. And there's no way to be successful. I mean, you might have like a one-off type situation where you and a blind date partner or you and somebody you haven't played with in a while just happen to click that day of the tournament. That does happen sometimes, but that's very rare for me. And the times that I play with somebody that I do practice with, I can just tell we jive way, way better. And it's just I have to stand firm with that, and I feel like I'm doing better with that this year. I'm mainly playing with people that I have a chance to practice with. You are the exception of that because I know we're not going to be able to practice a whole lot before the Beer City Open.
Well, at this point though, I mean we've played together enough; we should know each other's styles. The problem is that we learn them, and then we forget them, and then we learn them, and yeah.
I do feel better about this year, though, because like I really think I have really done a much better job at identifying what I have done wrong in the past. I'm working on getting better at that. And like what you said earlier, protecting your partner, that's something that I know I didn't do a good enough job at in the past. And I think I am a lot better at that now. And I think that will help us when you and I play together again. So I'm excited about playing with you together at the Beer City Open. I think this is going to be the year where we finally get our first victory. I'm not saying we're going to get gold, but we're going to win a game this year. That's my prediction. We are going to win at least one game this year.
I love it. That's a great goal, and it's a realistic goal, and it's something that I think we can definitely achieve. So let's do it.
Let's do it.
Great topic, Webby. For everybody out there, again, we want to know your opinion on these. And if you have a topic that you want to get our opinion on, go ahead and post it down in the comments below. Reach out to us on social media. We'll be happy to talk about it. And Webby, I got a question for you. Outside of Bell's Too Hearted, how do you like to stay hydrated?
Well, my absolute favorite way to stay hydrated is to drink some Fruit Punch Electrolyte Supreme, especially when I'm playing pickleball. It really helps. It really, really does.
That's Electrolyte Supreme from Jigsaw Health. They're an incredible company. They are just as obsessed with pickleball as we are, so much so that they are the ones that created the Orchard at Jigsaw Health, home of the Arizona Pickleball League, which season 3 is going to be starting up this fall. They live, eat, breathe, sleep pickleball. They're obsessed with it. And in addition to that, they have a great line of products. I take them daily. Their pickleball cocktail, Blue Raspberry, is my favorite way to stay hydrated when I'm out there on the pickleball court. Guys, I'm telling you, support companies that are big into pickleball like Jigsaw Health, especially when they have great products, and you'll be helping the whole community. Go to jigsawhealth.com, use coupon code PBforLife10 to get what?
You're going to get $10 off your order and help support us in the process.
That's right. And by doing that, you're also going to support the company that made the Breaking Pickleball documentary that Webby had a little cameo appearance in, and it's great. You guys should go check it out, Breaking Pickleball. It's all about season one of the Arizona Pickleball League. It's incredible. JigsawHealth.com, PB for Life 10, $10 off your order. Webby, what time is it?
It's time to give a little something known as...
closing thoughts.
So what did we learn today? We learned that sometimes your partner might hit you with a pickleball, even though you're on the same team, but... they probably didn't mean it, so just try to get over it and move on. We learned some of the things that if you're a male pickleball player that you probably shouldn't say to your female partner. However, we learned that maybe there is a time and a place to say something to your partner, regardless of if they are male or female, if they are doing something to cause you to get smashed by the pickleball because of how they play. Also, we learned that tournaments sometimes aren't that fun. You want to make sure you're having fun when you play pickleball, so maybe pick and choose the tournaments that you do. You don't want pickleball tournaments to be a reason for you to resent pickleball. This is an amazing sport that we all love, but we got to remember to keep it fun. So don't overdo it. Take it at a nice, easy pace and enjoy this amazing sport that we all love.
Yes, we definitely love it. Well done, Webby, recapping tonight's episode. This was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And on that note, I'm Eddie.
And until next time, this is Webby, not Eddie, signing off.
Wait.
Well, we're taking a round with Eddie and Webby. Taking a round with Eddie and Webby tonight.
Oh, yeah.